occupying the political process.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm David Brancaccio. Tomorrow's a primary election day in a swath of the Northeast, from Rhode Island to Delaware. Voters in five states, including big ones, New York and Pennsylvania, will go to the polls. The question arises, where is Occupy Wall Street in any of this? The movement, which erupted here in Manhattan late last summer, has spawned some candidates, including one running in Pennsylvania tomorrow. As part of Marketplace's coverage of what matters in this election, we call it the real economy. Let's go out and learn more about what some see as a logical next step for Occupy Wall Street.
It's going to be hot today.
First things first, Nathan Kleinman is running for Congress in Pennsylvania as a Democrat, not Green Party, not Independent, Democrat capital D. But in January, when Kleinman announced he was going up against his hometown Democratic Representative Allison Schwartz, a friend passed the word along to the online news site Politico.
The very next day, they had this story, the first Occupy candidate. And when I saw that, I smirked a little bit and thought this is going to be a different campaign than I expected.
Kleinman spent a lot of his time down at Occupy Philly last fall, and now as a congressional candidate has spent these past few months doing the political candidate thing. Town meetings, knocking on doors.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Nate.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm Nate.
And fundraising. Ben Cohen from Ben & Jerry's donated $2,012. But even in the weeks leading up to the election, he's still devoted to Occupy. Last week, Kleinman taught a course for Occupy's Free University of Philadelphia.
This is the introduction to a book called The First American Revolution. The American Revolution did not start with the shot heard round the world on the morning.
Kleinman's one of a handful of people coming out of the Occupy movement who are deciding to take part in electoral politics, including candidates in South Carolina and Illinois. UC Berkeley political scientist Paul Pearson says the movement should embrace the development.
The ballot box has to be part of it. The people who are making the laws, they need to know what the consequences for them politically are going to be depending on the positions that they take.
But electoral politics can be tricky. Kleinman opted to become a write-in candidate when there was a legal challenge to the signatures that got him on the ballot. That's quite a hurdle, and even in his free university class, some are skeptical. Can you really occupy Congress?
I've seen people get elected and all their promises disappear once they get there, and it's not about you, Nate. It's not about you.
Some say part of the problem with running for office is that the system itself is broken. Tammy Shapiro is an organizer with Occupy in New York.
When you run for electoral politics, you have to run and be a part of that system. And once you're a part of that system, it's really difficult to make huge impacts.
But she says that doesn't mean forgetting electoral politics.
I think the power and the strength of the Occupy movement, that there's people who take different approaches to the same problems, and it's those different approaches that are going to get us somewhere.
Kleinman agrees wholeheartedly. After he got dubbed the nation's first Occupy candidate, Occupy Philly crafted a statement saying it does not endorse candidates.
I stood there and I supported that proposal. Ultimately, people decided that it should be short and it should just be, we are a nonpartisan movement, we do not support candidates. But I supported not supporting myself, believe it or not.
Nathan Kleinman, write-in candidate for Congress in Pennsylvania and an Occupy Philly activist. Now let's do the numbers. First, there's socialists François Hollande's strong showing in the initial round of presidential elections in France. Plus, there's trouble passing budget cuts in the Netherlands. Does this mean Northern Europe won't be clamping down on its budgets quite as hard as promised? These are among worries that first hit Europe and now have traveled to markets in the U.S. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 142 points, 1.1%. The NASDAQ Composite Index down 1.6%. The S&P 500 is off 1.2%. Nestle, already known for its infant formula, will make even more of it. Nestle says it's buying the baby formula part of Pfizer for nearly $12 billion. Walmart stock currently down 4.6% today after the New York Times reported that senior Walmart officials had lots of evidence its Mexican operations paid tens of millions of dollars in bribes and then hushed it up.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, offering patented protection for the online reputations of professionals and businesses, now including reputation assessments. Learn more at Reputation.com. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at FordFoundation.org.
There's news today that 39% of American companies expect to do more hiring, an increase from 27% since January. The National Association of Business Economics survey was conducted from late March through early April. 48% of businesses figure hiring will be steady. Now, if you have $60 to spend on more sustainable living, you could buy 200 organic eggs, 6 reusable water bottles, or 1 single light bulb, an award-winning LED light bulb. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
It's the Rolls-Royce of LEDs, the light bulb for the 1%. Send in your best joke. But first, let's look under the hood. The Philips 60-watt LED is a same size, same shape replacement for your old-school incandescent. It sips 1/6 the energy and gets sky-high government ratings for quality of light. Martine Simard-Normandine is with Mew Analysis in Ottawa.
For reading lamps, it's rather nice, actually, because you like to have the light close to you on your book. With a LED light bulb, there's no heat.
The new bulb can dim, which may also describe its sales potential. Who's going to buy this?
People like me were very, very curious. We'll buy it, but it's rather expensive, isn't it?
Philips claims the bulb saves $8 a year in energy costs, and the bulb is made to last 20 years, so you can do the math. And for now, the maker is knocking off $10, so it's down to just 50. Not an early adopter? Sit back. Simard-Normandine says in a couple years, prices will plummet. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, when I speak, who really listens? But that's because my name is not E.F. Hutton. Wall Street Journal reports today that name is coming back from the dead in the form of a boutique financial advisory group to be run by a former E.F. Hutton guy. If you look at a corporate genealogy, most of the old firm is now part of Citigroup. E.F. Hutton used to run TV ads all the time, suggesting their whispered investment info was so awesome that whole rooms, if not whole stadiums, would go silent as people pricked up their ears to listen in. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
New York, New York, where the cultural often means the political and economic as well.
Some of the movements that we've had in the past, civil rights movement, women's movement, movements around gender and sexuality, these are things that happen inside and outside of the realm of politics. That hasn't happened yet in healthcare.
I'm Kai Rizdal, live from New York. That's us. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.